Hello and welcome to another episode of Your Intention Matters, the podcast. Thank you, everybody, for taking the time to listen and watch this episode. My name, of course, is still Paul Madat. Today, I have Ronan Pessar. He is Senior Director, Commercial Sales and Business Development, coming to us from a company called Security Scorecard in dreary San Diego, California. It's terrible there. The weather's awful. Nothing to do. Ronan, first of all, how'd I do with the name, man?
You nailed it, Paul. And thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks so much for freeing up the time. Do me a favor, say hi to everybody, and then we'll jump into your episode here.
Hello, everyone. I have to say, ironically, it was pretty dreary this morning. I've been trying as a New Year's resolution to get up earlier. So this morning I got up and there was fog everywhere around 5:30, but it's starting to clear out. So sunny San Diego is happening.
Well, you know, San Diego and Southern California, well, obviously in the last 12 months or so, have been no travel for me, given what I do for a living. But I used to go to California six times a year, at least with my partners there. And San Diego, I love. I mean, I can see why you're there. It's just an amazing city with lots to do and the lifestyle on the seaboard and the Corona Island and Coronado Island. Like, it's amazing, right? So
I love
how it's how are things, man? Happy New Year to you.
Thank you. Happy New Year. Corona Island. Well,
yeah, it's yeah what I said we're all Corona. About, it's, right? It's Coronado, isn't it? Yeah, exactly.
It's Coronado. Exactly, yeah.
Good, man. Well, happy New Year to you. What's going on? Things are good?
Things are going really well. You know, I'm excited for 2021. 2020 was a weird year, as so many of us know.
Yeah.
And in some ways, I think we've all gotten comfortable with life as it is in remote land for so many people. And that's why I'm looking forward to this upcoming year, you know, with the rollout of the vaccines, things opening back up, hopefully as that becomes more widespread, we may be returning to some sort of normalcy while also being used to a different kind of life. So I think it's going to be a good year for so many different reasons.
I'm looking forward to it as well. I'm optimistic it's going to be a better year than 2020 for a number of different reasons. And so I'm jacked that you're here, man. Thanks for making the time. Let's get into it, shall we?
Yeah, my pleasure.
All right, man. So listen, so you know the title of the podcast is called Your Intention Matters. And as we were speaking before I hit record, it's really built on my foundation that nothing is really given to any of us. And most of us in the world of sales or sales training or enablement or all across the board never thought we'd even get into sales, let alone sustain a career in sales. And most of us have meandering paths and big decisions to make, and it all starts with what's up top. And so with that said, let's get into your story, shall we?
Yeah, I certainly never thought I would be in sales. Right. It's funny you say that.
Yeah, I mean, I was in the same boat. I have an economics background. And I'm like, sales? I'm not going to be a salesperson. And here we are 20 years later.
So it's so funny. I actually used to think of sales as most people do, which I recently read. I think it was in Chet Holmes's The Sales Machine.
Can I take a guess at what your opinion of sales was?
Please take a guess.
Sleazy, slimy, lying.
Nailed it. The most common image people think of when they hear sales is the used car salesman. Totally. And I used to think that too. And I never thought twice about sales as a career path. I studied psychology after failing at pre-med. As a good Jewish boy, I grew up thinking I had to be a doctor, a lawyer, or CPA.
Okay.
I hated law because I interned one summer at a lawyer, at a lawyer's firm, and immediately knew it wasn't going to be for me. Forget accounting. I took accounting 101 and that wasn't happening. So I thought, all right, let me go into pre-med. I like busted my butt. 8 hours a day, weekends, studying. And I ended with a C. And this was in college. And I knew at that point, pre-med wasn't going to be for me. So I switched to psychology and loved it. So, and what I didn't realize then was that psychology is all about people. It's all about understanding why we do what we do. And behavior is such an interesting thing. People don't behave logically or rationally. Why?
Yeah.
And so the study of psychology started to fascinate me in 2009 and 2010 when I was in college. And that was kind of the early early seeds of what eventually led to the sales career that I'm in today.
So Ronan, let me ask you this then. If you go back to your time at Yeshiva and the decision to obviously not become a lawyer, not be an accountant, but then you also then change from pre-med into psychology, what was the conversation like with mom and dad about that?
You know, it's funny. My dad is an Israeli, self-made. He has been working for himself ever since he moved to this country in the 80s. And for him, he was always telling me, just do what you want to do. But if you're going to do it, go all in.
Hmm.
Don't half ask anything. My mom, also very, like a very traditional kind of Jewish mom, was very supportive, but also concerned. And so sure. For her, you know, my sister will tell you that she loves saying that, you know, I'm the greatest gift to earth and mankind, which on one hand is really great as a kid to help build your confidence, especially when you are trying to learn what's out there in the world. But on the other hand, can be crippling when you think you can do things that you're truly not capable of doing. So she was both supportive. Thankfully, my parents have allowed a huge amount of freedom and encouragement to kind of pursue things independently. But yeah, what it turned into was far beyond anything I ever could anticipate. You know, digging into all the different sub practices of psychology, what was most fascinating is there is predictable behavior and nature to humans and how we engage with each other, what we respond to. And, you know, later on, I learned that a lot of folks in the sales world who have made a name for themselves actually base a lot of their understanding from psychology.
Yeah, absolutely. And so when you made the shift, Yeshiva, that's in New York, is it not?
New York.
Okay.
The Washington Heights area.
Okay. All right. So you're in, is that Manhattan?
Technically, yeah.
But like North Manhattan?
North Manhattan.
It's almost where I live in Toronto, right?
Basically.
Got it. Okay. All right. So did you have a vision at the time? Did you have a vision of being a psychology professor? Did you have a vision of doing something like that? Like, what did you think you'd be doing with this type of education?
It's such a good question. So, you know, in college, I was a little aimless in my pursuits. At the time, I was kind of letting the wind blow me whichever direction it wanted to blow me in. And I went from thinking, all right, maybe I'll be a therapist, to realizing I didn't want to listen to people's problems all day, as much as I love helping people.
So you became a sales manager instead.
Yeah, little did I know it was the same thing.
Totally.
Then I thought, all right, well, you know, this whole world of clinical psychology, maybe I'll go into a PsyD route. Little did I realize that's the same thing as medical school and going down that road as well, and even more difficult. Not to mention, I wasn't interested in 9 years of schooling. And then...
Like 9 more years?
I think it's... Don't quote me on this, but I think you do another program and then you have to do a sort of like externship for a few more years. And usually folks who are going straight from college, they don't start making money until they're 30. And I was like, forget about it. That's not worth it.
So what'd you do when you finished? What was your first, I guess, job or your first profession post-college?
Yeah. So the very first thing I did, I'll never forget. I took a month off after college, after graduating, and I went backpacking through Thailand with a good friend for the full month, had a great time. He had a job lined up as a consultant when he came back at, I think it was Boston Consulting Group. Really great job. I had one or two offers. One was at ZocDoc as what was an SDR back then. Another one was at a recruiting firm. And I wasn't excited about either of them. You know, I had still at that point thought sales was not that great of a profession for many reasons. Yeah. And so my dad actually reached out to me and said, listen, I don't want you to feel pressure coming out of school to find something that you really don't want to do. If you want to start working with me in property management, at the time he was doing real estate property management, buying, fixing, and then renovating and renting out multifamily homes. He said, we'll work together and see if you like it, see if we can find something there. So Sure enough, not a lot of thought, not a lot of intention. And I just went right into it. Came back from Thailand, started working in September of 2013, doing back office support. I helped set up their property management system. I learned all about the monthly rhythms and flows of how it works when you're collecting rent and fulfilling work orders. And it was boring. It was dreary. It was a giant headache and something that I'm happy I understand the discipline and learned, but never want to do as a full-time profession.
Did you find that a harder conversation with your dad to move on than it was even about not becoming a doctor? Like after, like how long did you work with him? And was that a challenging conversation around, I don't want to do this anymore, Dad, sorry.
It was an interesting talk. That was the first time he wanted to see me stick through it for a bit, but also was trying to be supportive. When I started, he told me, and I'll never forget, he said, at any point, if you want to do something else, that's not a problem. You can do that. So he never gave me the impression that I was boxed in or I'd be disappointing him. But he didn't hold back either, meaning he gave me a lot of work to do, a lot of things to figure out. And I think I actually cut my professional teeth in that job more than I realized in having to figure out all sorts of things. For example, within the first few months, I was responsible for helping to hire and build out our leasing offices across multiple properties. I knew nothing about interviewing. You know, what did I know about interviewing?
You and then Googled I was it before the half hour before the interview.
Top 10 interview questions.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And I made all the mistakes. I mean, every single one of them. I'll never even forget my first time I had to let somebody go. Oh my gosh. I was up all night the night before.
Like
sweating bullets. It was gut wrenching. Yeah. And in that I had learned, you know, I show up and I'm sitting down and I'm thinking of all these lines I read online and I asked for advice from multiple people. And it ended up being like the easiest thing because she was not happy with the job and she was happy to go. So it ended up being one of those things that was like, oh, wait a second. This is one of the first things I learned about letting people go is you're actually freeing them up to go do something that's better for them.
Yeah,
I
mean, it's such a good thought that you have there because it's so true, right? If it's not working out on your side, it's not working out on their side. So it's a blessing across the board. It might be hard to have that dialogue up front, right? By the way, we don't want you to come to work tomorrow. You're like, oh, now what do I do? But in the end, it ends up being a good thing across the board usually.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It ended up being a really great experience. And when I finally came to him and said, hey, I want to move on, he understood. And I was very blessed to have had that experience and as much exposure to running a business as I did at that age. I don't think I would have gotten that almost anywhere else. And that kind of all took place because I had been at the job at the company for about a year and a half, just going with the flow of life, whatever came my way. I wasn't really thinking about it too much. And in mid-2014, I actually had lost my best friend of 20 years, basically my whole life. He died of suicide. And it was something that had really like fundamentally shaken my entire life. My entire world was flipped upside down. And after grieving and kind of trying to figure out what it all meant, the one thing I did walk away with immediately from that was realizing that life is short. It's unfortunate that it takes us these kinds of reminders to see how fragile it is. And I knew in that moment I had to learn to become more intentional. I didn't know how or what or you know how I would even go about doing that. But what that eventually led to was not too long later, realizing I wanted to get into tech and not knowing how to do so, the only real entrance for me was sales. And at the time, an SDR. That was the very first time, maybe outside of, you know, learning how to play video games or fantasy sports or playing basketball, that I became very intentional about something. This is what I wanted to do. And I had a clear path. I wanted to get into tech by hook or by crook. I would figure it out. And sure enough, that's what happened. And in 2015, I started at a company called SmartLing. I'm actually wearing a jacket that I still have from there. And it was, I mean, it was love at first sight. Everything about it was exactly what I wanted. But then that was the first time I had finally crossed a crossroad. I got into this place where I was like, wait a second, I got to the goal. What's next?
You know, I so appreciate your comment with regards to your best friend, and really condolences for, you know, for that loss, because I'm sure it's still with you. It's you know, a lifetime friendship, and then
absolutely,
you know, in terms of the decision that he made, and I'm sure it's hard. And I don't know, a few people listening have gone through the same thing, right? People that, you know, make decisions like that. And so I appreciate you having the courage to at least say that, because that's the purpose of this podcast, because I would have never known that that's something you had to overcome personally, but then also professionally. You got to move on, right? You got to keep living. And so were you still in New York at this time, or had you moved, or did you go back? Like, where were you?
I'm originally from Cleveland, Ohio. And after I graduated college in New York, I moved back to Cleveland to work with my dad and be there. And I'd made the move out to, the company had a New Jersey office. Okay. So about a year and a half into the job, I moved back to New York. And so at the time I was in New York, when I was starting to look for tech jobs, and when I'd lost my best friend, I was in New York. And so I was still there. I stayed put in New York for that exact reason.
Gotcha. Okay. Cavs fan?
I am. And I've forgiven LeBron. I am.
Well, you should. He came back, right? He came back.
That's right.
You guys got a ring.
That's right. And yeah, you know what? We're recording this, so we can go on record to say the Browns will win a Super Bowl next year.
So February 2022?
That's right.
That's the prediction.
That's the prediction.
All right. We're going with it. All right. Good man. Okay. So you find Smartling. And so how long were you there, and what was behind the decision to move on from them?
Yeah. I was there for a good 2.5 years, and it was, I owe Smartling so much to where I am today. Had it not been for them, Jack Weldy, the CEO there, is an incredible individual. He's someone who I admire greatly. And at the time, the manager of the SDR team, Daron Greenspan, he's now over at MongoDB, where he's been for a few years. He had reached out. We had known each other, actually, believe it or not, from camp, from summer camp. And he had reached out when I was looking. We connected the facts that I was looking. He was looking to hire. I went through the interview process and started doing the SDR work. And I joined this SDR team that was relatively new. I was one of four individuals there. Daron had been SDR one, promoted to manager to run the team. And it was 2015. We were trying stuff left and right. What would work? What wouldn't work? Awesome experience. He eventually moved on. And because of my experience having managed people when I was working with my dad doing property management, I had a lot of these natural leadership tendencies that kept coming up. It was almost organic how I went from SDR to team lead. Daron left and they were looking for a manager. I filled the role and then was able to grow the team from 4 to 8, 8 to 16 people. I had team leads who I was managing. And next thing I knew, we had built this machine that was working and it was awesome. And then in 2017, there had been a little bit of career stagnation from my end. And I was looking for more. I was trying to figure out, how do I go to that next level? And it was pretty clear to me that that wasn't going to continue to happen in the current environment that I was in at Smartling. And so I began to look for something where I could continue to grow to that next level and that next level.
So interesting to hear, because, you know, the way you're talking about Smartling, it doesn't sound like it was stagnant at all. It sounded like it was a pretty good progression pretty quickly. It's interesting.
In hindsight, it was certainly quick. In the moment, I couldn't move up fast enough. And that's something that I think a lot of us millennials are guilty for. It's commonly tagged with as a millennial, which is, you know, wanting that growth. In my case, it wasn't as much wanting growth as I wanted to be challenged. I wanted something that was going to be more difficult so I can continue to grow by doing. And I had felt like it was, my life and career at Smartling was plateauing, and there wasn't enough of a challenge available where I didn't have the skills to take on what was needed, because those were too advanced. And where I was, there wasn't enough of a challenge. So there was this weird gap in between. And that's what I was looking for. And the timing, it's everything. That's when I made the move over to Security Scorecard. And again, incredible journey so far. I'm still there today, going on 3.5 years pretty soon. It was awesome. In 2017, I had the opportunity to join and start with a BDR team that was doing a lot of things okay, but a lot of things wrong. And now I could take my experience from one company, bring it to the next one, and got to build out a repeatable model that's been awesome. And the growth has been incredible, even through COVID, at Security Scorecard.
So at Security Scorecard, you've been there 3.5 years. Same job in the 3.5 years, or have you experienced a career progression within the company as well?
That's one of the things I've been so fortunate for. Security Scorecard really does value entrepreneurial mindset, but also taking action, right? So the people at the company who truly want to own projects, responsibilities outside of their scope of their 9-to-5 are given the opportunity and rewarded for doing so. So I continue to try to grow and expand on what I was doing. And I'm super grateful that I've been receiving promotions throughout the time I've been there. Most recently, this past August, I had the privilege for the very first time to take on a quota carrying sales team, not just SDR, BDRs, lead gen. So for the last 4 or 5 months, I've been actually working with a team of closers as well. And it's been an incredible challenge, an incredible journey, and exactly what I love doing.
Well, you know, I want to chat with you about that because I know 2020 has been an interesting year, or certainly was. And I know, but I also know, if I have it right, even personally, you've experienced some great things in your year since Security Scorecard as well. Like, you're a dad as well, right? And you have another one on the way?
I am, yeah. So I have a 16-month-old son. He's the love of my life, absolutely adorable. And I have a little girl on the way, God willing, in April. So we're very excited to bring on number two pretty soon.
Is your son a Cavs fan as well?
You know, he
or a Browns
he used to
fan?
Be a Knicks fan, which I don't understand, just because he's born in New York.
Kids, they don't know anything, man. They don't know anything yet. So, all right. So let's talk about 2020, because you have a lot on the go personally, and then now you're in a new job under the same company, but that's a whole other animal that you have to deal with, because it's you're managing different responsibilities, different people, different job details. It's not that, I mean, you could be a manager, but then now you have different personalities. And I imagine there are some that you probably haven't seen in a while, like other than like this, right? Other than on Zoom or WebEx. And so how have you handled, you know, almost the last year of our life?
I think that's been the hardest thing, Paul, is not seeing the people who I've grown accustomed to seeing every day. People who I really enjoy being around, the people on my team, my coworkers and other folks in the organization. 2020 has been strange in the sense that it's been a year of adaption and adoption of new things. How do we adapt to the challenges? Luckily, one of my strengths is that I have a strong ability to adapt quickly to new things. And that was really tested come March and April when we went remote. And then I left New York and left everything behind and decided to stay in San Diego full time. That was challenged again. The thing that I keep coming back to, and when I forget about this, you know, I'm always wondering, how did I forget about that? And when it's clear, it seems so clear, is you got to stick to your morals. You got to stick to your guns on the things that matter, even when the surroundings change. So what I mean by that is, you know, for me, it's really important that continuous improvement is something that is always at the center of my own life, my team's life, friends and family. How am I consistently seeking that 1% improvement every day? How does my team consistently seek that improvement? You know, and having read, whether it's the Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz or doing mindfulness, the idea of being present in the moment is so true now during COVID, probably more than ever, as a way to go past the challenges that are in front of us. So You know, I think 2020 has brought on a lot of contemplation and adjustment, but in the same way that it's changed so many things, a lot has remained exactly the same. And sticking to those traditional values and beliefs, I think truly do create, you know, progress and consistency and growth the way that so many of us seek.
Well, you know, I have to say, man, congratulations on everything you've been able to create in really a short period of time. I mean, you're still in your first decade of really working, right? I mean, post, you know, post college, and you've got a long runway in front of you. I'm looking at your LinkedIn profile here. You got to fill me in on something here. What is Ronan's revenue rants?
You know, I was just looking for something with alliteration, and that seemed to make the most amount of sense because it was catchy. I do love writing about anything on the topic of course, B2B, software as a service, sales related topics. So revenue, and I like to rant about them. So I do post regularly. I try to put something out there once a day, engaging with all sorts of other folks. The LinkedIn community has been awesome and really taken off during COVID. I typically talk about SDR tips, leadership, SDR leadership tips, kind of what I'm seeing now as a new revenue quota carrying sales leader, how that experience has been as a frontline sales manager. And once in a while, I talk about other management tips, tricks, or truths as well.
Love it. Well, Ronan, man, it's been a lot of fun speaking to you. You've had quite the ride here. Lawyer, accounting, pre-med. No, it's not going to happen. Psychology. you get into kind of the family biz on real estate. No, it's not really for me. Then you find technology, and then you go from New York to Cleveland. Now you're in Southern California. You're a manager. You're a leader. You're a new dad. It's just congrats on everything you've been able to create thus far, man. Sincerely.
A lot of fun talking to you. Thank you so much, Paul. Yeah. If there's one thing, I've learned, it's the worst advice you could ever give someone who's getting started or someone who's stuck, the worst advice is follow your passion. That's bad advice, because 99% of us don't know what our passion is. Mm. Better advice is go create a passion. Find something, grab onto it if it's moderately interesting, and develop a profession, a mastery of it. And as humans, we love when we master something, then it becomes a passion. So for me, that's really what the SDR world, demand gen, and now sales has become for me, especially in tech and in B2B sales.
Well, listen, man, it's been a lot of fun talking to you. Continue to stay safe. Continue to keep dominating, doing what you're doing. And let's wrap this one up, shall we? It's been a lot of fun, man. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much, Paul. It was an absolute pleasure.
You bet. All right, everybody, we're going to wrap this one up right now. Remember, your intention matters. Why? Because I'm telling you, that's the result you'll tend to get. All right, we're out of here. We'll do it again next week. Happy New Year, everybody. Be safe, and we'll talk to you soon. Happy New Year.